Welcome to the M Zone, Jamie Morris and my man Matt Leach back at the homestead. We're live here at the Black Rock down on Stadium Boulevard. Stadium Street, sorry. You'll know where you are. What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, Jamie. How about
you? I'm sorry. That was that's our man. You're not an intern no more.
I'm not an intern, no. I mean, if you call me an intern, you just wouldn't
just
be
saying,
telling the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, Alex is with me on the remote. Alex, how you been? What's going on? Are you excited? Fantastic Friday.
Yeah.
And we're the culmination of it.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to bring it all morning long. They brought it all morning long. They've done everything. And now we need to finish this puppy up in a good way.
Right. Well, just to put it plainly, I'm always excited if there's college football involved. So yeah, to answer your question, yeah, of course I'm excited. So.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah. We got a lot of college football. But, hey, talking about the game tomorrow at noon, kicking off against Western Michigan, first home game of the season. I mean, look, I've said enough about it. I've talked about it. And yesterday I got a little angry when I was in the studio with Matt. Just saying what I expect to see in this team. You got to be a little angry with yourselves as a player when you came in and, you know, you didn't get it done. You didn't get it done. So you got to bring it. I know it's Western Michigan. People are in a wait and see now. But you got to get it done. And all day long. You got to go after it all day long.
Yeah, well, I mean, this kind of goes without being said, but just because it's Western Michigan, like you said, that doesn't mean you can't take the game seriously, especially after the showing they put last week. So, you know, just to put it plainly, I mean, you know, like you said, all day long. Got to come after them, you know, got to take it seriously, got to be ready to go.
Well, we need to go one of our callers in. I mean, one of our guests today is Isaiah Ho from Wolverine's Wire. Hey, Isaiah, how you doing? What's going on, man?
Yeah, you got the name right this time.
Man, come on, man. You know
it.
Hey, it's been a couple. I failed you, and I'm responding, and I'm going to make sure we get it every time now.
Love it. I absolutely love it. How's it going today, Jamie?
You fight the fight. Isaiah, you were down there. You were part of the media crew and everything like that, and you got a chance to see it from the perch that where they put the media at. You give me your assessment real quick.
Well, I was actually on the sideline for the game. I like being on the sideline for some of these games, but sometimes I can't quite get a. Obviously, you don't have the same view being on the sideline, having a lens pressed to your face like I do. But it really felt early on. I mean, just like anyone else probably could tell, it felt like Notre Dame asserted its will. Early, I thought there were some generous calls on the Notre Dame behalf. I didn't really think that for instance, the pass interference on LeVert Hill. I thought that was kind of a ticky-tack call, given that they were both kind of going at it, and they caught LeVert. They didn't catch. I believe that was Boykin on that play. So there was a little bit of home cooking here and there, but that's to be expected. Like you said last week, you go down to South Bend, that's going to be the case. You're going to have to try to deal with some of the Irish luck, and we saw some of that Irish luck in action with the touchdown that rolled right off of Brad Hawkins' fingertips and right into Fink's hands. So it felt for a very long time like Notre Dame could kind of do what it wanted. But then Michigan finally settled in, and I was kind of surprised that was how things went, because in the pregame, Michigan looked more focused than I think I've seen them before a game. They didn't, but that might also mean that they didn't look very loose. They didn't have the kind of feel that you would expect them to have compared to previous years, especially defensively. They just all looked very, very serious, like they had come with a business-like approach, but as a result, you didn't see them go out and have that type of game that you would expect Michigan's defense to have. I think we all can agree that it was a surprising beginning to that game in that the defense just did not look the same as it has in previous years. So they were able to obviously settle in and look a lot better. And I think going forward, that's something that you can hang your hat on and say, okay, they were able to clamp down eventually. They were able to look the way that we expect them to. They held Notre Dame to one of their lowest outputs in the last calendar year. I believe the second lowest output in the last year and a half. So you can take a look at that and say, all right, we didn't hold them to Georgia 2017 levels, but we were the second best team as far as that's concerned. And, you know, they did a pretty nice job after that. Now, offensively, obviously, same questions we always had, but at the same time, I'm not really sure how much of that is Notre Dame's defense being that good compared to Michigan's offensive line continuing to struggle. We won't know that until Saturday.
Right. Let me ask you a question. Why am I getting sound about? Let me ask you the question this way. What do you expect from this game, Western Michigan, at noon tomorrow?
I expect we see the Michigan team we thought we were going to see to begin with. Western put up loads and loads of yards against Syracuse in that barn burner of a game that probably no one expected to be that way. I don't think that that's indicative of how good Western might be offensively. I think you're going to see a Michigan team come out, like you said, with a fire, playing angry. They know what's being said about them right now. They know that everyone's kind of given up on them this quickly. I think that you're going to see the defense continue the trend it started late in the first half last game and really be able to limit what Western wants to do. And on the other side of the ball, I mean, we also saw Western Michigan gave up loads of yards to Syracuse. Now, whether that's a product of Dino Babers' offense, and he's always had pretty good offenses, going back to, I believe it was Bowling Green that he was at beforehand, but I would expect to see kind of what we thought we would see with Shea Patterson and with the offense in general. I think we'll see a much better-looking offensive line. I don't think that all the hype that they were giving us, both you know on the record and off the record, about how much the offensive line had improved, I don't think that that was just a bunch of fluff. I think we'll see a bit of that. I think maybe they were underestimating how good Notre Dame's defense actually was. I think pretty much everybody was. So I would expect to see something a lot closer to what we all thought we were going to see out of a Michigan team. If we don't, then I think then there really is some trouble brewing.
Well, what about what are you thinking the defense is going to do?
Well, defensively, I think you're going to see what – like Mike Zordich called out, didn't really call him out, but he said, like, with LeVert particularly, LeVert Hill, it looked like he had never covered anyone before to begin that game. And I agree, that was kind of shocking to me to see both Wimbush going after him aggressively and it working initially. I think you'll feel a little bit more of a stasis with, you know, Josh Metellus coming back. I know he's not that much older than Brad Hawkins or Jamarik Woods are, but at the same time, you know, just having him in the full game, you know, the comfortability being there, I would expect to see, you know, them just kind of work a lot better as an entire unit. I don't think that the offensive line for Western Michigan is nearly as good as what Notre Dame's is either. But Notre Dame's ends weren't able to hold up just like we thought against Rashawn and Chase. I mean, Chase and Rashawn were in the backfield almost every play. The difference was that interior offensive line that Notre Dame had, which, you know, was the three returning guys. They looked the, you know, pro caliber like I thought that they probably could. And even though I thought both Michael Dwumfor and Aubrey Solomon both had really good games when they were in, fact of the matter is when, you know, both them and the other guys that were in, Lawrence Marshall and Ryan Monet, they both had a hard time, along with the linebackers, keeping contain from Brandon Wimbush. You're not going to have that problem this week. So I think it's going to be a premium of for yards for Western Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you see a lot more of a disciplined defense, and you see a lot, you know, basically what you're used to seeing, probably of quite a few sacks in the game, unless Western just, you know, finds a way to emulate what Notre Dame was able to do early on. But I just don't see that happening. I think that, you know, Michigan's going to just be a lot more sound with what they want to do schematically, and that it's going to be very difficult for Western to be able to do much of anything on that side of the ball.
Okay, so you've had an opportunity to these kids all week. You've had accesses to the coaches. What is the temperament around the team?
Well, it seems like they're just doing their best to put everything behind them. Obviously, there's been some distractions with both the fan base somewhat revolting. The Braylon Edwards stuff definitely caught their attention. But they look back at what happened last week and they say, all right, we could, you know, we finished that game down only 7, and we were in it to potentially tie the game with the final drive. So it wasn't like a blowout. It wasn't as embarrassing as a lot of folks want to say that it was, whether it be fans or the media nationally. So that as far as they see it, we're right in this game against a ranked opponent on the road. And so they don't really seem to understand why there's so much hate, but they're also kind of taking that and saying, like, well, that means that we need to focus and be able to do what we need to do against Western Michigan. They're well aware that Western put up a ton of yards against Syracuse. They know that they need to be able to contain that type of attack. They're aware that, you know, the receivers, you know, had a good game, the running backs had a good game and everything like that. So they just don't want to repeat what happened last week on that side of the ball. And on the other side of the ball, the offensive players are like, okay, well, we've talked all week about this improvement, and despite what people are writing about us and despite what people are saying about us, we do see units that are improved on the offensive line and the running game. Now, they didn't address specifically, Michigan had 1.76 yards per carry in that game, which was the second worst amongst Power Five. They didn't really address that, but they did say, like, all right, well, we know where we got better, and despite how things looked, it still was better from what we can tell going back and looking on film. So that's kind of their mentality, is to go out and show that everything that they talked about and everything that they see on film that maybe the layman don't notice, that that comes forward, and that's way more evident this week.
You're listening live to The End Zone, live on Fantastic Friday at the Black Rock Bar and Grill at 3776 South State Street. Isaiah, this team is coming out on the field, and like you said, they've got to prove something to themselves. They've got to prove something to the fans. They've got to prove something. I mean, but you, the media, you guys are on a sit and wait, because Western Michigan, SMU, these are games that are supposed to be won. What's the next game that you're going to see that you expect to see Michigan to come through? Is it Nebraska or is it Northwestern?
Well, we don't know what Nebraska is because they didn't even play. So it's hard to even say that, but we'll get a little bit better of an idea of what Northwestern is as well when they play Duke this week. But I would expect that we see the Michigan team that we've anticipated, basically at least until Wisconsin. Northwestern is not going to be a gimme, nor I wouldn't expect Nebraska to be either, but like you said, we are playing wait and see, and I guess the expectations for the season for me have not necessarily are being erased and rewritten, but I do want to see before I can sit there and say, all right, they're still going to be a contender in the Big Ten. What, you know, if they go out and handle business on Saturday the way that they were supposed, you know, that not that they were supposed to this last week, but the way that they're supposed to this week. Now, if they're able to come out and have a big blowout game situation, really limit Western to what they're trying to do, and hold them to a premium, not just of points, but of yards gained, then I say, all right, well, maybe that Notre Dame game is something of an aberration. Maybe Notre Dame is that good. But we don't know for sure. If Michigan's able to go out and, you know, move the ball offensively, and I thought they did a pretty decent job of moving the ball through the air, you know, at times against Notre Dame. Shea Patterson had the second best quarterback performance that a Michigan quarterback's had since John O'Korn against Purdue when he threw for 270 yards last year. So, you know, I do think Notre Dame's defense is pretty good. So I would like to see some massive improvements upon, you know, that number. I'd like to see Patterson really be able to, you know, air the ball out a lot more. And if they can go out and do that, then I think that the expectations that we had going into the season really haven't changed that much, except for the differences, maybe the record's different. Because I think a lot of us didn't really think that Michigan was going to lose to Notre Dame, but there's no shame in losing that game. So,
wait a minute. You're talking to a former football player, a former Wolverine. Losing that game, there is shame to losing that game. It is a rivalry. It is an important game. It sets the tone for the season. It sets the tone. Mm-hmm. It sets the tone for different things. It tells you where you are. So that being said, I get what you're saying, and you're right. There were some good things that happened offensively. Good things that happened defensively. But overall, it does set a tone for you. But now you have to atone for what you did in South Bend. So,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's no shame in the sense of the level of competition. But yeah, I would imagine it has to change. You would hope at least that it would change the tenor of the locker room, and that Michigan won't forget that they failed in what they set out to do in week one.
Mm-hmm.
And you would hope that that does stick with them. But at the same time, it's like I spoke to Devin Gardner earlier today, and he repeated the old maxim of you can't let the same team beat you twice. So going forward, they need to keep that in mind that, all right, we need to be able to go out and execute our will and become, you know, the dominant team that we wanted to be. And that goes beyond just this week. You know, they might get the taste of the loss out of their mouth if they go and win this game handily. But once they face, you know, Nebraska, once they face Northwestern, once they face Wisconsin, they're going to have to really, I think, dig down and remember what happened against Notre Dame and try not to let that type of thing repeat itself. Because I'm sure that it will be in the back of their minds when they face different competition beyond SMU that, you know, hey, the last time we faced a really good team, we came up short. And
exactly.
We did not come out strong to begin the game. And they're going to have to really keep that in mind when they go forward.
Well, you don't want to keep it in the front of your mind, but you want to remember it because you don't want that to happen again. So
exactly,
I get what you're saying, but for me, from what I saw, like I said, I saw good things in the game. I saw linemen going upfield. I saw the defense making adjustments in the second half. They held Notre Dame down. We had our opportunities. We were the ones that lost that game because we fumbled at the end of the game, towards the end of the game, giving them the ball back. That being said, you hope they learn from the mistakes. They got a chance to see themselves on film. When coaches tell you things, usually coaches tell you things and you don't see them on film in live game action, you don't tend to listen a lot. But now you got them on film. You show them the negatives. You show them the positives, and then you build a new game plan, and you get ready for what Western Michigan.
Yep, that's exactly what Mike Zordich said on Wednesday, too, is that you show them the negative and the positive, and you move forward. And that's been pretty much what I've heard through press conferences all week, is that that's what they're going to try to do. They definitely want to remember that this happened. I mean, they're going to have to continue to remember it, because it's the last four teams they've faced, they've lost to, and all four teams have been pretty good teams. So you got the two games that are as close to gimmies on the schedule as there's going to be. So it just depends on how much they want to be the team that they set out to be off the year.
Exactly. It's time to go to work. It's time. Whether it's Cal Poly, whatever, or it's Western Michigan. If you're a superior team, you got to play superior. You got to play superior. You got to do the things you're supposed to do. Get guys in there and get them an opportunity to get on the field and play. Play your younger guys if you can. But they got to set the tone. You got to be able to run the ball. You got to be able to throw the ball. You got to be able to execute your game plan. You got to be able to play the defense that you told everyone that you had. I still do believe in this defense. I still do believe in this team. I just want to see them come out and do the things that we've been told that they've been prepping for. We didn't see it a lot of it the past game, but maybe we'll see it this week and the following week and the rest of the season.
Well, it starts up front, too, and that's where you really want to see things happen, both sides of the ball. Obviously, you did see the defensive ends having a pretty decent game, even if they didn't make it home. But offensively, I definitely was really impressed with what Ben Bredesen was able to do. Whenever there was a really big hole, it seemed like Bredesen was the guy leading the charge there. Ruiz Onwenu, I thought, also had pretty decent games. So, really, it's going to be very important for those two tackles to really assert themselves. I saw some, you know, there was definitely a lot of them being on skates throughout parts of the game. But, you know, again, we don't know how much of that was due to Khalid Kareem and Dalen Hayes, who were both very, very good players. So, there was moments where I thought that they looked okay, but for the better part of the game, they were fighting for their lives against those guys. So, you know, both sides of the ball, those lines need to really be able to assert their will, and that's what we didn't get to see much of this last week. But going forward, you know, if the team is as improved as we've been hearing, and you keep on hearing about Ben Herbert's ability and everything. And, you know, the one thing that was definitely noticeable, you know, on the sidelines was just, you know, the heat was a lot different in that game than I think everyone thought it was going to be. It was supposed to cool down to about 75 degrees or so by game time, and it was probably about between 85 and 90 degrees on the field. And, you know, that was what led to guys cramping up and things of that nature. Even Chase Winovich said he was gassed. And keep in mind, Chase Winovich against Purdue last year, and it was a good 9,500 degrees that game. I was on the field for that one. I felt sick before the game. It was so hot. Chase didn't come off the field. He was he just came out and played amazing in that game. But this game, you know, he said that he was having a hard time keeping things together just because it was a lot more tiring. I think there's a mix between, you know, the elements affecting what they were going to do, as well as just playing a much better team than they thought that they were going up against. And, well, you know, going forward against teams like Western, they need to treat them like they're Notre Dame as well. They can't think that it's that they're going to get any days off in any of these games if they really want to succeed on those lines.
No, that's a great point. Well, Isaiah, we've come to the 3:30 mark. Appreciate you coming on. I know that you're busy. You're working on a video and everything like that. So, hey, we're going to hear from you next week. We've got another home game, so we look forward to having you on in studio, of course. We got to go to a break. You're listening to the M Zone Live here at Black Rock Bar and Grill at 3776 South State Street. You're listening to Fantastic Friday. We got more good stuff coming your way. This is the M Zone.